Hello, welcome to Film Themes. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Alex.
And this week we're doing Air.
Yes, Air. A video about air. In a sci-fi future, there is no breathable air, and two janitors work on... Well, no, they're not janitors. They fix machines and stuff. They work on basically keeping...
Machine janitors.
They work on keeping this... secret government underground bunker thing running. They get placed in suspended animation and woken up every now and again so they can keep all the suspended animation scientist people who are going to save the world when the world's habitable again alive.
Yay.
Yeah.
Now, there is some good news about the movie. One, the movie does have kind of a nice plot. I mean, let's think about this here. It is a future where the world's been kind of taken over by nuclear war. Whatever, you know. We've been there, we know what it's like. It's post-apocalyptic. It's in one of those moments where it's showing, like, hey, the people we find important, quotation on quotation, are being watched over by the people who are not as important. No, that'd be like you and me in the future.
Yeah.
Like, we'd definitely be the machine janitors.
Yep.
And, you know, there's not very much breathable air, so they kind of have to put it on reserve till the world's habitable again.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's kind of neat that they're not, you know, the movie is not like, it's not like fucking, it's not World War Z, where it's just one guy Forrest Gumping his way through an apocalypse and trying to stop it. No, the apocalypse has already happened, and this is just two guys trying to make sure people survive through it. And it's very focused on them and kind of their struggle and story and not about the fate of the world, which I kind of appreciated. And I think some of the film's best moments are when we kind of get, like, because these guys have been at this a while. They'll have, like, a news broadcast playing in the background that's like, oh my god, what the hell is going on? And they'll be like, oh yeah, I've seen that before. And so we get, like, snippets of the backstory and you're like, no, wait. What you get in a normal movie, but this time it doesn't shove it down your throat like, nuclear war is bad! No, they're just like, oh, and by the way, nuclear war is bad. So, what about the...
Yeah, you get, like, I love the subtlety of it, actually, because you get snippets of what's happening. You have to put the puzzle together yourself. Yeah,
well, it's not that much of a puzzle, but I mean...
I mean, it's not that much of a puzzle, but eventually they'll give you everything, and you'll be like, ah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you get the picture over time, which is, I think, an effective bit of storytelling here, but... At the same time, I think that's one of the major weaknesses of this movie, is because it kind of pins everything on these two characters, and I didn't care enough about these characters for them to carry a whole movie for me. I wanted to hear more about, like, why did this happen? Who did this? You know, they mentioned a few times, but it isn't really made clear. Maybe in an attempt to make this movie a little more timeless, they don't mention a specific... country or a terrorist group that screws up all the air everywhere, which is, you know, probably also a smart choice if they were aiming to release it internationally, so you don't have to be like, oh, the Chinese got all uppity, and then China's huge film market is like, okay, yeah, we're not spending money, or like, oh, the Russians did that, and Putin is like, rawr, rawr, rawr. Whatever, or you name North Korea, and then they...
And I agree, they did good on that, and this kind of... I have the same thing, and I think we might sadly agree for once, is where I think the plot is really good. Because you have the two guys, and one of them, naturally, they're being woken up every 6 months just to run some tests, make sure everything's working, and then go back to sleep. So one of them is losing his shit and starting to hallucinate, which is kind of expected.
Yeah. Like, it's honestly... And he seems, there's an interesting this isn't quite the right word, but it's kind of a dichotomy where, the guy who's losing his shit, Cartwright, he's, like, hallucinating this woman, like, right next to him who's telling him to, like, do things. And yet he seems more, like, responsible and together when you're not being reminded that, like, hey, he sees a person that isn't there, than the other guy, Bauer, who is just kind of like this, just, like, he seems like, he reminds me of, like, a convenience store clerk.
Yeah. I mean,
he seems like Dante or Randall from Clerks.
He's kind of the Dante character. He is the Dante Randall of machine janitors.
Yeah.
I agree. And but that's kind of the thing about him, though, is I find that character to be believable.
Oh, yeah. He's super believable, like, and he's super relatable.
Yeah, he is.
Because eventually you even find out, like, what's kind of behind his deal, why he kind of, like, is kind of apathetic about the world and, mm-hmm. like, kind of bitter. And at one point, like, you find out what his deal is, and you're like, oh, okay, I really get that. I can see why that would make you have that kind of outlook.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing, is I don't have a problem with the acting either, because, I mean, we have Dejam Hassou, however you say his name, you know who I mean.
I'm glad you attempted it, so I didn't have to.
Either way, it really drives me crazy. I don't know, I can't pronounce his name right, because he's one of my favorite actors. It really is. That guy is incredible at everything he does.
This is the first movie I've seen with him in it, to be honest.
No, he's in Blood Diamond.
I've never seen Blood Diamond.
What? How? Yeah. You have to watch that movie. It's one of the greatest movies of all time.
It's not really my kind of movie, at least from what I know about it.
It's epic good.
Okay.
Epic good.
Anyway.
You're right, it's not your type of movie. You like shitty movies you can blog about.
I do.
Alright, so we have him, and we have Norman Reedus, who is also a phenomenal actor.
Mm-hmm.
And they do an amazing job acting out their parts. The problem is what you said. The writers did not take the time to make us give a shit about the characters.
Yeah, like, there are some strong emotional hooks in, like, both the characters' like backstories, because it just seems like, oh, it's just kind of these, like, two guys. They're like the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern of this tragedy. And then, you know, you get some serious pathos with both of them, because they both have some stuff that's really going on. Like, it's made, it's outright stated by Bauer that, like, he considers, like, Cartwright to be, like, you know, like, their family in this thing
right.
that they're going through. And Cartwright has his own issues going on with the lady. Not really sure if I want to spoil it or not, but I feel like had it been given a little more gravitas, because it's a very serious thing, it could have made him a little more relatable, but as it is, it almost feels like too cheap, like it comes too late, and by that time I had gotten thoroughly sick of Cartwright's character.
Oh, definitely. Cartwright was overly obnoxious.
Yeah, he's just too straight-laced. He's like the guy, like, well, we're going to do everything by the book.
Yeah.
We can't kill somebody to make sure we both survive.
Exactly, and it was, you're right, what they did is they did a reverse character build on Cartwright. You know, they just basically was all like, here's this guy who's going insane, and towards the end of the movie, and here's all the reasons why you should care about this guy now. It's like, well, now it's too late. I don't give a shit. I hope he dies.
Yeah, you kind of have to make, like, you kind of have to make the insanity a little more, like, gripping. Like, it just kind of seemed like one scene he would be, like, totally together and with it, and the next scene, like, the woman would be, like, constantly there and being like, you have to kill your friend, and he would be like, okay. It's like, wait, okay, give it. I know it's like mental instability. You can't really give us consistency, but I mean, this is fiction, so please give us consistency, because it just felt like.
I think that's kind of realistic when they show him all right at some points and not all right at others.
Well, yeah, but it's like, it leads to, like, a sense where you don't know what to expect from the character, not in like an entertaining way from like the Joker from the newer Batman movies. More of, you don't know what to expect from him, that he doesn't feel like a character, he just feels like an instrument of the plot. Like, okay, we need there to be tension here, so Cartwright is going to be crazy and think he needs to kill Bauer. Or, okay, we need somebody to balance out Bauer's pessimism, so he's going to be together here and talking about why their job is so important.
Right. And I agree with you 100%. It's like I was saying, I think it's an amazing plot. You have wonderful actors. They did it on a low budget, which is also great. I'm just like, they did everything right in this movie, except the writing.
Yeah, and that just kind of lets it down. Like, I wanted to like this movie, because it takes an interesting approach. But I also don't hate this movie. I think I can see, weirdly, a little more clearly than a lot of the other movies we've done for this theme, why this one stayed obscure, because it's just like, people like me, there are a lot of people where you can get really into a terrible movie. You can laugh at how shoddy the execution is or how bad the writing is, and you can get really into a great movie because, you know, you care about the characters and there's an engaging storyline and the visuals are amazing or the style's great. But when one or two of the elements just don't work, you find yourself going like,
Yeah, it's like, you are so close. So you're just sitting there like the whole movie, like, come on, guys, you can do this. Like, just put a few more things together. I believe in you. I'm going to give it like 20 more minutes. All right, maybe 20 more.
I never felt like I reached the point of the 20 more minutes thing, which is ironic because this was your movie for the suggestion.
Yeah, folks, I want to point out, we're not arguing.
Yeah, we're not
this
arguing.
This is weird.
I
think Vacation was the last time we didn't actually argue. Or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Last time we did not argue.
Yeah. I didn't have to give the, 20 more minutes, because, I mean, I'm pretty hardened to watching movies that I don't enjoy. But also, I found it hard to pay active attention to this, because like a lot of people who watch movie or TV these days, I keep it as like a second thing. I'm doing something else at the time, like I don't know, like checking my email or playing a video game that doesn't require a whole lot of attention or something like that. And I found myself, my attention more drifting to the other thing, and occasionally I'd hear a line in the movie.
I did warn you had to pay attention.
Oh, I paid enough attention to get the movie, just it didn't hold my interest
but
the whole time.
That's why I was telling you have to pay attention, is because you could easily be distracted from this movie.
Yeah, you can.
Because the entire time you're watching the movie, you're like, all right, yeah. It's like a teaser, the whole fucking movie to me. That's how I see it, because it's like, it's so close to being an amazing movie to me that I'm just being teased the whole way, where I'm just waiting for something better to happen, if that makes sense.
That's true. It almost feels like a feature-length Kickstarter trailer.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look at this neat post-apocalyptic world we have. Because we don't have a budget, we're limited to this, like, weird little, like, underground facility set. But with your support...
Pretty much. And that's just the way I felt the whole movie. It was like, where I was kind of on the edge, where I was like, all right, this is going to be good. This is going to be... Come on, give it to me. And then by the end of the movie, I was like, fuck you.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a moment, you know, because at one point Cartwright does actually go up to the surface briefly, and I feel like
yes.
That was supposed to be the holy shit moment, but it didn't really register for me. Like it was It was a lot more impressive visually than most of the rest of the movie, but I don't know, it didn't hit home for me. Maybe because I had kind of like the disconnect that the characters had from the rest of the world, so like it almost felt like when he went up there, it wasn't that, whoa, we've got this big new world. It was, oh, okay, now he's going to go back down and rejoin the rest of the movie.
There are two reasons I like the scene a lot.
Okay.
One, they've been reading the little printouts and crap about all the other bases around them. They're like, hey, everything's going good.
Mm-hmm.
Checking in, everybody's still alive, you know, doing stuff like that. So they think they've got a community of people doing what they're doing.
Right.
So when he goes to the surface, he's basically going, shit, there is nothing. There is nobody. It is just us.
Yep, that seismic activity, those were bombs.
Yeah, pretty much. He's just like, well, fuck. I mean, and it's kind of depressing. It's like, you know, when you see the guys, they're kind of apathetic and what's going on with the world and whatnot. It's like, you got to keep in mind that these people really are, like, in a bad situation.
Yeah.
And things are getting worse.
Yeah, it's a very grim movie on the whole. But,
it really
I
is.
I mean, there's value to that. Some of my favorite fictional works have built on kind of that. Like, there was a visual novel I played not too long ago where it was about somebody in this, like, just completely ravaged, acid rain falling all the time world, like, trying to salvage this, like, city that was intact, like, hoping to find, like, riches or something to, like, fix everything, but he doesn't find anything, but he does find, like, one robot from, like, before everything went to hell, and kind of their interactions, where you had, like, you had the contrast between, like, his pessimism, because he's been out in the world that's just ruined and devastated, and this robot who doesn't really know about it and is still optimistic. I feel like they could have used a little bit more of that here. Because both of the characters, like, they disagree on how seriously they should take their job, but at the same time, they both take their job seriously, but they're both slowly giving up hope. So you don't really have that, like... do you know what I'm saying here, Jake?
Yeah, definitely. I get it. I get it. You don't have that overcome moment, I guess you could say. It's just people that are slowly having the hope drained from them, and that's where it's going to end.
Yeah. And it's a relatable thing, but, you know, movies are escapism. Like, we need, you know...
But that's the place to do things like this, I think, which they always tell a storyteller, right? Is if you're going to have a bad ending, you want to do it in a short story, or you want to do it in a movie that's like about an hour and a half long or so. You don't want to do it in anything that's a long scale. You don't want to do it in like a novel or like, you know, like a 3-hour epic movie, you know?
I don't know. I don't think I agree because, and here we finally get into arguing.
Yes,
folks.
Yes, finally.
I feel like if, because
wait
then
a minute,
that...
Wait a minute, before we get into the argument. Let me finish my second point.
Yes.
About, like,
okay. Sorry.
Then you can, we can argue.
Okay.
All right. My second point, why I like the scene so much when he goes up and he sees the surface, is every post-apocalyptic movie I've seen, or at least I can think of off the top of my head, mm-hmm. always shows you a post-apocalyptic world, which is nothing but desert.
Oh. Mm.
This actually, there's no desert here. It shows you concrete all over the place. It shows you the city that's been destroyed. It shows you the world that was there before the bombs dropped and the decimation that the bombs have left.
Right, because this is a different kind of apocalypse than usual. It wasn't, you know, like nukes went off everywhere. It's no, like the air is poison.
Right, but there was bombs too. You can see the buildings have been blown up.
Yeah. But it's not like everything has been leveled.
Yeah.
There's stuff intact.
Well, I mean, there's leveled stuff because you still have like the concrete all over the place. It's been crashed and all that. But every other one is like, you know, there's nothing but desert. And I'm sitting there going, look, even if there was like a nuclear war, there'd be something left behind. You know, it's not like it would just be sand everywhere.
Right. It wouldn't immediately go Mad Max.
Right. So I just kind of saw it as a more realistic apocalyptic world.
Yeah, which is neat, but...
All right, now you can argue with me about the bad ending.
Yes, back to bad endings. Because I feel like that negates the whole point of tragedy as a genre. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you can get a lot of catharsis out of that where, like, you just see a character struggling to overcome and, like, see that... go to, like, one of the classics... of tragedy, like King Oedipus, you know, like from theater. And, you know, that is a tragedy because it's this wise king and he tries to resolve all these problems and fix everything, but his pride gets the better of him. And so we feel for the character, but at the same time, we can learn a lesson. And, like, you do that because you get enough time to see, like, where they're coming from, and so you don't think, like, oh, they're just a complete monster or they're just crazy.
Right.
You see the struggle there. And
definitely, but I mean, mine is more along the lines of, like, the bad guy wins.
Well, I mean, that can be part of it, too. That, like, if the bad guy is more, I would love to, they're never going to do this, but I would love to see a Batman movie where the bad guy wins. Because the bad guys are always...
are so much better characters.
They're always better than Batman.
Like, dude, fuck Batman. Yeah. Fuck Batman.
Batman is not interesting.
The Penguin? The Joker? These guys are characters. They're
the Riddler? Scarecrow?
Yes.
There's so many colorful characters. And
they are all cooler than Batman. Every last one of them are cooler than him.
Yeah. And so if you end up rooting more for the villain or thinking the villain is more interesting, a bad guy wins ending can be more interesting because you're like, oh, the world is kind of bad, but we get to see more of this character. Like, what if they're not, like, what if maybe, none of Batman's examples really work, but what if after this bad guy who has been just bent on the destruction of things wins, what if after he's in power he can, like, kind of, like, take a turn and, like, start working towards the better, and you see, like, oh, there is another side to this character.
Right, and I get your point. Shockingly enough, we're not going to really argue that much on that, because I get your point and I do agree with that. I think mine is more along the lines of, don't make someone, don't introduce a character to somebody and spend hours upon hours upon hours making them care about the person just to waste them off.
I guess I don't agree, but I guess that's because in fictional stuff I've worked on, and I enjoy trolling readers or viewers, and I also enjoy feeling trolled, like where they, where, you know, you can see this a lot sometimes, like at the beginning of something, where they'll like have kind of just an introductory character who's like kind of, I'm trying to, TV Tropes as a term, the decoy protagonist, where it like, seems like they're going to be the main character, and then they just like have a, like a building fall on them, and you're like, oh, okay, who's our main character? And the camera pans over, or, you know, you get a new chapter, and suddenly you're like this
person. Like the sidekick that's kind of been there the whole time, like, steps up. I get you. I get you on that, and I can agree with you on that. I think in some settings that can work. I was just saying, as a general rule, if you're going to do something that like that, you want to keep something that's short.
I guess that's true. Just maybe where a disconnect is happening is that I don't agree that it needs to be kept short, but I do agree that, like, if you're going to do that and have, like, a hopeful following or a new main character, you need to give them sufficient time. And I feel like ultimately, and I'm going to tie this back to the movie here, that's ultimately what the movie didn't do, because ultimately it becomes all about Cartwright, and it doesn't give itself enough time for that, to have it just be the Cartwright show.
Which is funny, because you care much more about Bauer than you do about Cartwright.
Yes, yes.
Cartwright's the guy with the issues. He's the one... Fuck the spoiler.
Yeah, fuck the spoiler.
He's the one who's got his wife sitting there that he's taking care of, and he's all like, no, this job's more important than you taking it, and we can't just kill one of these people at random. I gotta keep her alive. You know, and he's the one who's going nuts, but at the same time, nobody gives a shit, because you don't take time to show me anything good about Cartwright. You don't introduce his wife at the beginning of the show. You don't introduce how they get along. You don't build their relationship up, show why he may have flipping out.
Or even not even make it, like, as concrete. Like, they could have had the, because it is his wife that's following him around, like, as the hallucination. If you had just made it clear that the hallucination was his wife and not just, like, some random woman that he has an interest in, if it would have been, like, you know, how much more powerful would it have been? Like, if, you know, during one of the moments when he's all crazy and she's, like, Bauer's a threat, if we had known it is his wife there being like, please, he could be, like, you know, say, like, we think it's, like, the ghost of his wife, or, like, his, his, like, memory of his wife. Because they mentioned that, you know, like, being single is a requirement of the job, which makes you think, like, oh, God, they had to leave everything behind. And that's made clear with Bauer, which is his whole deal, if we're in the spoilers territory. He left his family out there to die.
Well, he didn't leave them out there to die. He didn't know they were going to die.
He didn't know they were going to die. He didn't grasp the full scope of things, but he's clearly haunted by it.
Yeah, and you not can see as the guilt he has about it.
Yeah, we don't need, like, a ghost kid or a ghost wife following him around. We see it. Like, Cartwright, they have to have this whole device, but, you know, it could have been much more powerful if instead of, like, just some random woman apparition that's telling him, like, all these things, if it's, like, his wife, and so we're like, oh, God, he regrets not being able to save her, protect her, whatever, and then you have, like, the hopeful twist at the end, like, oh, no, she's actually one of the sleepers, and then that, that, you know, invests us more in his character, because we think, like, oh, this guy's got a chance, this guy has hope.
Yeah, but... they don't really do that.
Yeah, they don't do that. And it's in the name of kind of playing up the mystery, which I don't think really pays out for them, because they already have plenty of mystery with the backstory in the world. They don't need to have it in the characters.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you. It's, I would have liked to have seen, like, more build-up between him and his wife. Like, and it could have been, like, him even talking about her.
Yeah.
Like, you can't afford to pay her to film for several days? Okay, cool. So... film him and Bauer talking like Bauer did about his family.
Yeah, and we got there's a lot of pathos in that when it's just Bauer talking. There's, you know, like, there's no flashback or, like, old pictures showing up, like, you know, the fake, like, black and white, like, kids running around, wife having, like, lemonade, you know, like those cliched kind of scenes where they show in a flashback. They don't have that. It's just him talking, and just from that we're like, oh, God, Bauer, I feel for you, buddy.
Right, and they... like, if they had just done something with, like, Cartwright talking about his wife, you know, and everything about her and what she meant to him. And then maybe not have her show up, but just you could like hear her voice when he hears it or something.
Yeah.
And that distracts him. That would have been so much more impactful. But
ultimately they didn't do these things. And that's why I end up feeling I'm whelmed by this movie. I'm not underwhelmed. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm just whelmed.
I'm meh. That's how I feel about this movie. Like, eh, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to like it, but I don't really hate it. Same as you.
Is that the first time we've both had the opinion on the movie? Like, I feel like we've either fallen into love or hate on every movie we watch.
No, there's been a couple of movies where I think we both hated and we just completely tore apart. I think there was at least one.
No, I mean just us both being kind of like, eh, on a movie.
I think so.
Really?
I think so.
Huh. Anyway, I don't know. I kind of feel like I've seen all I said all I have to say.
I know. I kind of feel like something's wrong here because I'm not belittling you for your poor taste in movies or Nicolas Cage or something.
And no, this is one of those rare times we agree, so it feels weird.
It does feel weird. Oh my goodness. Folks, something is wrong. So
yes,
check to make sure the ice is still there, you know, or the ice isn't going or something.
Nicolas Cage?
No.
Okay.
No, we're not going there.
Now we're back on formula.
What is your obsession with Nicolas Cage? Why do you like this guy?
I've explained this so many times, but he throws himself into a role. It can be a stupid role where he's like the guy who's obsessed with cats and wears like a pimp hat, but he'll be like, yes, I'm into it. And he'll just give 130%.
Okay. So it's just his excitement about being every character.
His excitement and his passion about being every character. Which is the one of the few movies of his that I didn't enjoy, the Left Behind remake, because he doesn't seem like he's into it. Like, he's just kind of like, okay, I guess I'm the main character of this movie. I'm here to collect a paycheck.
Oh, he phoned that shit in.
Nick! No, this isn't you! You never phone it in. You're always the crazy, I will sew Egyptian relics into my leather jacket to get more into the character of fucking Ghost Rider.
So you love Nick Cage for the same reason I hate Nick Cage.
Yes.
He's the same character in every movie, no matter what the character is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's horrible. It's like, you're not supposed to be that crazy guy excited in this movie.
Well, but you get around that by casting him as the crazy guy. Typecasting is not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing for certain people who are good at that, but he's not typecasted.
He should be.
I know he should be. That's my problem. He should go, wait a minute, this script is not me. Here you go. Instead he goes, leaving Las Vegas? Got it. He's like, whatever that treasure movie, National Treasure? Leaving Las Vegas again. You got it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the dude has a lot of money problems, so he takes basically any paycheck he can, I guess. For a famous person, you know. I mean, he's still probably doing way better than you or me combined, but
I was going to say, like, you know, like, if I could retire, I wouldn't call it a money problem.
Right.
Like, you don't need, like, a $6 million house or something, you know?
Yeah, but
like, go live in a normal neighborhood.
Well, he lives on a different scale. I don't know. Probably have, like, crazy fans, like, trying to, like, murder him if he lived in, like, a place with normal, I don't know. Yeah. Famous people have problems too.
Whatever.
Yeah. But, so, I guess that brings us to the conclusion of Air.
Yeah, one of our shorter episodes, but nothing happened, so
yep. It's a movie about nothing. How do we know when it's over?
I think it's over.
Sorry, this ain't Seinfeld.
Thank God. What? No, you can't. Never mind.
Yeah, we're good. So we did not plan out our next theme. So
oh, no, we didn't.
We did not. Normally we do at these episodes, but I guess you'll just have to join us next time and see what shit we come up with.
Yeah, we got time. You want to talk about it. Well, it is a short episode.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's just going to be a lot of us going, so I feel like we should
not do that.
Not do that on air. Yeah.
Okay. Fair. All right, folks. For Film Themes, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Alex.
See you next week.